Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in church on Sunday night. Hallelujah. With the massive crowds trying, everyone trying to find seating for everybody. You may have to squeeze in a little bit. Faith calls those things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We'll open up to a book we've never studied at the prayer center. It's called the Book of Romans. And I know you think we're going to Romans chapter 8, but we're really going to start in Romans chapter 13. How many of you remember those messages that Dave taught years ago on premeditated repentance? Nobody remembers those messages. Okay, there. Raise your hands if you remember. Oh, so we've got some people that never had heard those messages. Well, I finally found the verse, the passage that he must have gotten that from. I know he got it from the Spirit, I don't remember him actually using this verse, but it is the precise verse for that. Premeditated repentance goes like this, and this is a lot like the lascivious grace or the permissive, what do they call, greasy grace, sloppy agape, that's going around right now, where God's grace covers everything, and so it doesn't really matter, you can do what you want, and one of them even goes so far as to say that it's almost an insult if you repent or tell God you're sorry after you do that. Because Jesus already paid the price for it. And so it's just, what did that one preacher say? It's ignorance before daylight, Ignorance gone to seed. But during that season, Pastor Dave would say, now, premeditated repentance. I mean, God will forgive you. He will walk through hell with you just so long as you don't start justifying what you're doing and saying it's not sin when the word played and he says it's sin, as long as you don't quit doing those things, like everything that we teach here, prayer and fasting and worship and meditation and all of those things, that if you continue in them, no matter how messed up you are, I'm speaking about me now, not you, how messed up you are, one day it will spell your deliverance. But he says now, premeditated repentance is a little different. That's where Now, you sinned last weekend. You had a really good time. I mean, you went out and you blew off steam. You tied on one, man. You come home and you was drunk and you did other things that you shouldn't have done. And you come home and you repented the next morning and you told God how sorry you were. And you slung snot for an hour. And but then, as the week went on, and you're approaching the next weekend, you're starting to think about your weekend and you're starting to get a little bag ready and you're making provision. You're, okay, now this next weekend is coming up and let's see now. I'm going to need this and I'm going to need that. Oh, yes. And I need my premeditated repentance pills. I need to put them in there because I'm going to have a really good time. But I know God's grace will cover it. But I'm really going to have a good time, so I want to make sure and put my repentance pills in my bag. Well, that's premeditated repentance. That's starting to take God for granted, and that's not a very good idea, okay? Now, the balance of that, really, if you're struggling with things, he will walk through hell with you. But now here's the verse. Look at this. It's Romans 13, chapter 13, verse 14. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, here we go again. This season seems to be the season where we're expounding on Luke 9:23, where Jesus plainly told him, if you're going to come after me, if you want to be a disciple of mine, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. Well, taking up your cross daily, there's only one purpose for a cross. That's death. The cross is not intended, to harm you. The cross is intended to kill you. Well, who's supposed to be on there is the flesh. We're supposed to put our flesh on there every day. So he's having us go through this season. I've been trying to get away from it. Nathan's been trying to get away from it. There's no getting away from it. That's just where he is right now. So this verse, it says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And if you look up that word provision, it means to store up ahead of time. But then with that thinking in mind, just back up a little bit, starting in verse 12. He said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us, and he's talking to Christians here, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Now, is there any reason to write that to Christians if it's not possible to be walking in darkness? It's not a trick. No, there's no reason to write that. All right? Let us Christians, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Boy, don't you love that? The armor of light. Now here's the verse. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, those are sexual sins, not in strife and envying. Now, to help you understand, make not provision for the flesh. Notice one of them is drunkenness. Say you're going to have a big party next weekend and you're planning to get drunk. Don't you have to make provision? You got to make a trip to the liquor store. You got to make a trip somewhere and get provision. Make it not. It's exactly what Dave was talking about. Make not provision for the flesh. Everybody has different things they're struggling with, flesh-wise. With some, it's could be drunkenness. Some, it could be gluttony. Some, it could be envy. It mentions envy here. Some, it could be strife all the time, you know, divisive spirit. Some, it's gossip. Some, it's this. Some, it's that. Well, the first thing, when it says make not provision for the flesh, if he's dealing with me about losing weight, the next time that I go to the grocery store. Now, we're talking about walking in the Spirit. Seriously, I know it sounds like dieting class. No, we're talking about walking in the Spirit here. Bringing where the rubber meets the road. If we're really going to walk like he wants us to walk, then we're going to have to grow up and not always be making provision for the flesh. No matter what area that it's in, okay? Make not provision for the flesh. It was mentioned again this morning that, again, the key to walking the, quote, crucified life is not so much to focus on the flesh, but rather to focus on walking in the Spirit. See, hold your place right there and go over to Galatians chapter 5. The error that he's trying to correct right now, it's just one degree off. It's not like a major thing, but this doctrine somehow has crept in. Not that Dave taught it, but it has been perceived. I perceived it that way for a long time. It's almost like, well, if you start really warring, if you start really doing something to overcome the flesh, now you're into works. And that's not true. Dave never said that. Paul never said that. In fact, what he says is you're in that war whether you like it or not. And if you're not resisting, you're capitulating. You're surrendering day by day. There is a war. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. If you're going to be one that walks that out, you're going to have some pain and misery, because he that has suffered in the flesh is free from sin. The body is not going to relinquish willingly at all. It has to be forced onto the cross. And that is normally a painful process emotionally. You see, and what's sad is I'm preaching this on the Sunday night to the diehards of the diehards. I'm preaching to the choir, but hopefully this message will go out beyond here. See, it'll go to people that, if I had really understood this, I would have quit smoking a lot sooner than I did. And it's not Dave's fault. It's my misunderstanding of the message. See, the... Yes, sir. We will get to Galatians. I got it marked here, okay? See, at one time, fairly early on in our attendance here at the prayer center, I went in and I asked Dave. I said, Dave, should I just go ahead and just buck up, you know, like anybody, and just stop smoking? You know, use my willpower and stop smoking. He didn't say not to do that. What he did say was this. He leaned back in that chair back in the office. And you know how Dave does. He and Jesus went off somewhere, you know. You know. Did you ever ask Dave what time it is? You know? What time is it, Dave? He's sitting right there, so I'm a little bit of trouble. What time is it, Dave? And Dave will go, there was a cloud. And it was coming from the west to the east. And then a hole appeared in the cloud, and a deer jumped through. And 20 minutes later, you find out what time it was. But it was all good, and it was all God, see? It was all good, and it was all God. But I asked him that time, I said, Dave, should I just use my willpower and just fight this thing? He didn't say not to do that, but I'll never forget the answer. He says, well, you could do that. He says, but Gary, do you want to start beating your wife or molesting children? I went, what? What are you talking about? I'm talking about just quitting smoking. He said, well, Gary, he says, you can deal with the fruit of the tree all you want. But if the root of that tree is still intact, it's going to bear fruit somewhere. Now, you might cut off the limb of smoking, but if you don't deal with the root of the flesh, it's going to gratify itself some other way. Have you ever seen people that quit smoking and gain 100 pounds? He didn't say this now. I'm just commenting now. That's really common, isn't it? Or maybe I've seen this more than once. Somebody really finally gets tired of being sloppy fat and out of shape. This happens a lot with men. I don't know about women so much, but I've seen it more than once with men. So the guy, he starts going to the gym and eating right, and he'll lose like almost 100 pounds, and he'll get really in shape, and we're all going, yeah, yeah, and giving him a lot of attaboys along the way, and when he finally gets there, he divorces his wife. He winds up divorcing his wife and, you know, leaving his kids and marrying somebody about half, and he run off with some cutie at the gym, he says. I have literally seen that happen more than once. See, so you're dealing with overweight or gluttony. You're dealing with that, but there's maybe you cut that limb off. But see, the flesh, if you don't deal with that root, then it's going to manifest some other way. Now, that's what I love about this message. Now, here's the thing I didn't know, though. Let me add to that now. Let me give you 20 years experience down the road. I'll be here 23 years in June, okay? That is absolutely true. And you need to keep the thing that will deal with the root is prayer, the Holy Ghost, praying those mysteries that you don't even know how to pray as you ought. One of the reasons is you don't know what's wrong with you. You don't know why you keep doing what you do. You don't know why you keep failing. You don't know why you keep falling to that same habit. But guess what? There's somebody who knows. And the Holy Ghost, eventually he'll shine the light in that room that even you don't go in there anymore. And you'll see it and deal with it and you'll be free. That's when you get, that's dealing with the root. See, that's not just, it's everything, praying in tongues, fasting, and so forth. But here's what I've learned, that if I'd have known this, I think I'd have quit smoking a lot sooner than I did. It's okay. Here's what I didn't know. While you're on that journey to deal with the root, it's okay to prune some fruit. It's okay to deal with some of those limbs. I should have, because now Galatians, look at this. The truth is, focus on walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit is the key, not focusing on the flesh all the time. The more you, if you just focus on the flesh, you'll become like, and again, I love the Holiness Church. I'm not running down anybody. I'm talking about the ultra, ultra, ultra holiness like Dave talks about, where they would send people to hell for wearing an earring, and we're not talking about men either, you know. Okay. In other words, they focus kind of on the flesh. They're trying to walk holy. They want to please God, you know. But that's not where the answer is, because you can not wear makeup, have your hair up in a bun, wear skirts that could cover the ankles and still be full of envy and gossip and slander and all kinds of things, right? All right. The key is to walk in the Spirit. And that is exactly the way that Paul puts it over and over and over again in the New Testament. So Galatians 5:16, this I say then, he does not say mortify the flesh so you can walk in the Spirit, yet that's the way that we normally interpret it. Mortify the flesh so you can walk in the Spirit. Mortify the flesh so that whatever. No, no. He says walk in the Spirit, and that should be little s, you know that, that walk in that new nature. Learn to walk in the new nature, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The key, don't focus on the flesh. Focus on walking in the new nature. But then as I've been praying, the Holy Spirit says, I have been bringing that message forward for over 20 years in this place. Everything, the whole book, the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power, everything in that book is teaching you, us, how to walk in the Spirit. How do you do it? What about a little key like praying in other tongues? What about assimilating the books? What about some fasting? What about, all of those things are teaching us how to walk in the Spirit. But in this day and in this hour, He is bringing that tree to maturity so that now we can bear some fruit called revival. And in order to do that, there is a lopping of limbs. That might be tonight's title. Lopping of limbs. There's some limb lopping coming. You hear me? And if there's still bad fruit being produced off our tree, even as we're dealing with the root, it's okay to lop off some bad fruit. That's what he's saying. I wish I'd have known that. If I'd have understood that better, I wouldn't. I'm not. It's my fault. I didn't understand it, you know. But had I known that. Now, but right on the other hand, I don't want to quit smoking and start molesting children or beating my wife or letting it or gain 100 pounds or let it come some other way. We want to keep doing those things that dig around the root of the tree. Put that root of the flesh to death. Keep that rascal on the cross. Okay, keep doing that. Keep doing all those things. But I am telling you, we never did read the verse. According to Galatians, it's okay to be in this war. It's okay. Jesus was in it every day. And how I know that is Hebrews chapter 4, where it says, He was tempted. It took 20 years, 30 years for me to see those three words. He was tempted in all points. In all points, like we are. Oh, my Lord. Yet without sin. He was tempted in all points. All points. That's why it says in that same passage, He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what it feels like. He walked where we walked. Yet He Himself walked that. He felt the temptation, but He never once yielded to the sin. No wonder He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the pattern. He is the one that we turn to. Not only is He the pattern, He is the source. He is the life literally within us. Amen? All right? That means He had to resist. He had to resist any fruit of sin appearing on His tree. So here's, I guess I should read the verse. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Everywhere you see Spirit, it's a little less. For the flesh lusts against the new nature. The new nature against the flesh. Now notice, these are contrary, the one to the other. I loved how Nathan did it the last time that he mentioned this verse, I think it was, and he says, you think you're going to walk parallel, your spirit and your flesh, right into revival? You think you're going to walk parallel, the two of you walking side by side? These are contrary. They are opposite. The flesh wants what it wants, and the Spirit wants what it wants, and those are contrary, the one to the other. One is going to be on the cross every day. And I remember that it was at one of these services. The Holy Ghost said, I never heard it that put that way. He said to me, said to us plain, well, one thing's for sure. One of you is going to be on the cross every day. Because the flesh and the Spirit are not going to walk together. You're going to walk in the Spirit, or you're going to walk in according to the dictates of the flesh. Which is it going to be? There is a war going on. Now, what He's saying to us in this season, it is okay. It is not works to stand up and start resisting things in the flesh, even while we are still pursuing the death of the root. Amen? You got that part? I asked Him about this walking in the Spirit, and He's going, we have been focusing on that part for over 20 years. How about all of the In Him scriptures? You remember when that came forward? Where He had me go through every place in the New Testament that says in Him, in Christ, through Him, through His blood. Everything that tells us who we are in Christ Jesus. Not only did we have the verses there, but I took those verses and made a positive a present tense positive confession. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That type of thing, see? That's how you focus. That's one of the tools. It's just one of the tools you can use to focus on walking in the Spirit. Praying in tongues is another way you build yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost, and He communicates the mysteries of the kingdom to you. So your understanding doesn't have to be limited. You can understand exactly what God called you to do, and you can walk in it step by step. I notice He doesn't show me the end step first. He shows me the next step first. When I have walked, and I'm telling you after many years' experience, when I've walked in those seasons where the heavens seem like brass, and I would pray for wisdom and answers, and no wisdom or answers would come, when I went back and I looked at the last thing that He actually said to me, it all boiled down to, was I obeying that step or not? Because I found out through hard experience, people, there's no point asking Him about the next step until you have obeyed Him in the last step. You can forget it. He's just not. That's not going to happen. If you're not going to take the last step that He told you, well, I'll say it another way. Only after you begin obeying Him on the last thing He said, that's when you start getting the next thing. Quiet in this church today. Now, myself, He's dealing with things. I never did say this correctly, and this is what I meant a while ago when I'm trying to say this. I want to try it again. On this journey, I mean, I have been as much a flesh creature as anybody else. I don't try. Pretty much what you see is what you get. Sue and I mean, we're easy. We kind of pity people that have to judge us because we figure you must not be very good at your job if you're a judge, because we're easy. It's easy to find fault with Sue and I, okay? Follow us around a little bit. 5 or 10 minutes, we'll give you ammunition. Anyway. So we've been really amazed. It's been amazing to us how God would use us at all. I mean, I have literally seen God heal people through my nicotine-stained fingers back in the day when I did that. But now, and I never did get this. I never quite could say this, and I hope I can say it this time. I was amazed that He could heal through me because I was thinking what was in the forefront of my mind at that moment. I'm still smoking. Now, I'll try and say it. Now, He's peeled back the layers of the onion. I feel more like King David now. Like I said this morning, King David, who was sitting on the throne, judging, and he should have been sitting on the throne judging. But what was amazing here, he's judging the faults of others. And he himself was a murderer and an adulterer at the moment. And it wasn't even in his consciousness. It wasn't even in his... Nathan the prophet had to come and say, "You're the man." Remember that? What's going on with me now? He's peeled back the flesh. So it's like an onion peel. You just keep peeling it back. I'm seeing things and get wicked things. Flesh things in me. That I've had. That was there when he healed the cancer. That I didn't even, it had become so a part of me for so long, I didn't even think of it anymore as anything. I wasn't even aware of it in my consciousness. This is part of what the Holy Ghost does, I guess. He keeps shining the light in every room of the soul. Boy, some of those rooms, I'll talk about me and not you. Some of those rooms, I nailed 2x12s across there decades ago. Nobody goes in those rooms. I don't even go in those rooms anymore. I like to put furniture in front of those rooms and paint over that area and make it look like there never was a room there. But now, things that have been so long standing in me, so much worse, to be honest. And what scares me? What if there's things beyond there? Like, ooh, is right. I don't know. But you know what I do know? Every one of them already been judged in Christ. I don't have to be afraid. Me and the Holy Ghost can go in there. I don't care Because what happens is you build strongholds around those rooms. Because you got hurt there probably. And you're not going to get hurt there again, you know. So that's part of the reason why you do that. But I am not afraid of the Holy Ghost. I don't believe He's going to hurt me. He is the only friend I have that I trust to walk in there with me. I don't even trust Dave to walk in there with me. And I really trust Dave. I might trust Daisy. No, I'm teasing. Sitting right there. Now, who I trust is the Holy Ghost and the Lord to go with me in there. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I know that love really is who He is, see. So we're coming into this season now where, I mean, even the deep, dark things that we collectively, individually, have walked in for so long, it's just who you think you are. But He does not agree that that's who you are. And He is going to root that stuff out. And that part of that vision that I described this morning of that house that I saw the outside of the house first, and I know it represents Gary. I know it's my house, because later on it's in my living room, right? At first, I was walking around the outside of the house, and it was brick. And I'm not real crazy about brick. I don't know why brick. I'm going to have to talk to him about that. I like stone, but it was a brick house. He knows I don't like brick. But anyway, it was a brick house, and everything looked fine. But I'd walk by this one area, and something about it, I just kept coming back. And at first, it just looked fine. It looked like perfectly level rows of bricks. You know how bricks are in a brick house? And I kept looking, and eventually, I kept looking at this one area. And it's like suddenly it became a little bit translucent, almost like you could see through. And I could see the foundation. And there was like dead tree stumps here and there growing up. Well, they weren't growing anymore, but they were still there from when they were growing in my foundation. Now, if it's a tree stump, and you could tell they'd been there a long time. So they were dead. But I did concrete work for a long time. I'm telling you right now, one thing you don't want in your foundation, you do not want to pour your foundation around dead tree stumps. It'll weaken the foundation, right? It'll break right there. So I'm looking at that and I'm going, well, that shouldn't be in my foundation. He thought I was very smart with that observation. He's going, that's what I'm trying to get out, you know. We're going to deal with every one of those. See? And it's not like they're still living. It's not like they're still active exactly in my life. But they're still there. And they've got to go. It could be still doctrine. Could be. I don't know exactly yet. It could be flesh things. I just had that vision this last night. Give me a break. But then it dawned on me. I said, well, how come nobody else can see this? I didn't even see it. I was walking right by. It looked perfectly, just looked fine to me. How come nobody else can see the dead stuff in my foundation? Just plain as day, I heard, it's my grace. My grace. Love covers a multitude. I didn't hear this. I thought about it during the day. Love covers a multitude of sins. Yeah. He's not trying to ridicule me or make fun of me. He's trying to help me. I liked how Nathan said it this morning. Just God may show you a real flaw in somebody, something that, you know, God may show you something. That does not mean you're supposed to run over there and tell them about it. You better find out why He's trusting you with that information. Better not run off and hurt the sheep with it, I'll tell you right now. Grow up time, isn't it? Go back to Romans 13. Romans, I think, is probably one of the most eloquent Rembrandt Picasso books on planet Earth. It's amazing. I wish I could tell you I understood every verse in it. I wish I could. I thank God for what I do understand, and I'm going to understand more the next time you see me, because I'm going to keep assimilating and keep praying. Now, it's very interesting to me. I mean, it's real clear to me. Verse 14, the one we looked at earlier, Romans 13, 14. Does this not sound like Ephesians? Put off that old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Remember that? So here he says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. Now notice, to fulfill the lusts thereof. He never says those lusts have left. Galatians 5, to a different church. The flesh still, Christian, the flesh still lusts against that new nature, and the new nature against the flesh. This is a war that we're going to have to win if we're going to see revival. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily in order to do that. It is not wrong to lop off some limbs while we're digging around the root of the flesh. You understand me? But now, it's so interesting to me that that is the concluding verse in that chapter. But now let's back up this a little bit, see what he's been talking about. We could go all the way to chapter 12, verse 1. Everybody's real familiar with that. He's saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Would that not be your flesh? Hello, this is not a test. Would that not be? At least it's a portion of it, right? The flesh is not only the physical body, but it's, envy doesn't exist in my little finger. My envy exists somewhere in my soul, right? And hatred and variance and those type of things. So it's not only the appetites of the body, but it's also every unrenewed portion of the soul. But he's saying here that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That's a really nice way of saying keep, if it's a living sacrifice, couldn't you not say put it on the cross every day? And it's still alive. God has called it dead. Positionally, it's dead. Have you noticed it can make you feel stuff? Withdrawals? It can make you feel. It's a living sacrifice. And it's not fun. Earlier in chapter 8, he said, I've considered that the sufferings of this present life, this present time, are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And in the context, he was talking about it's through the Spirit that you mortify the deeds of the body. There is a suffering in that. The body is going to make you suffer. You don't let it have what it wants. It's going to make you suffer. And that's the suffering. Jesus felt that. That's why it says he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Well, he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. See? So again, Paul also saying, you need to present your body. Now, most people, when they teach that verse, they teach fasting from it. But thank God for Pastor Dave. I beseech you, therefore. Therefore means based on what I have just got through saying in the previous 11 chapters. Well, in the previous chapters, he didn't say anything about fasting. What he did talk about was praying in the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8. How do you present your body a living sacrifice? Body, I've come and we're going to epoxy your britches. Pick out a chair. Okay, that one right there. I'm going to epoxy your britches right there. We're going to pray in tongues for the next zama amount of time, whatever's long to you. I remember in the early days, I was so, Dave had me so convinced. I know I can do this. I mean, I was raised by O.R. Carpenter. I'm a can-do kind of guy. When it's too tough for everybody else, it's just right for me. That's the way my dad taught me, I can do this. I'm going to pray for 2 hours, and I come down on a Friday night prayer, and I set my... This was in the days when nobody wanted to talk to me so I could actually pray. I come down to... And I zama, zama, zama. I start praying, praying. Yes, I'm going to pray for 2 hours. It's going to be a piece of cake. When it's too tough for everybody else, it's just right for me, and I'm praying, and I'm going... 5 minutes? Oh my God. I committed to 2 hours? Oh my God! You'll find out what a living sacrifice is, In those days, I couldn't do it. I could not epoxy my britches to a chair. You know what I had to do? I had to, watch this, the flesh had to have something. It would not let me pray unless I would walk. I would just walk around the room. Come to find out there was a whole herd of us walking around the room. In those days, I could not sit. I could not just be quiet and sit there and pray. It was the longest time. And I mean, I don't know how long time, weeks, months. I don't know how long before I could actually sit and pray for 1 hour. Now, in the trucks, I could do it. I could sit and pray because my mind, I could see the countryside going by and my mind was occupied. You know, if you're driving an 80,000-pound rig through Memphis, it is a good idea to have your mind on what you're doing, okay? You know, but I could just pray. So it was easy to sit and pray. But just to sit and everybody else is just, and there's nothing to watch, there's nothing to do. Just sit and pray. Ow, my flesh started screaming, man. No, get out of here. Go do anything. Go give money away. It would do anything. And the only way that I could endure it, I had to walk. I'd walk and pray. I did the same thing at the ugly building at first. I'd go over there, I'd walk and pray. But eventually, peace begins to rule. Something happens over time. You get to where you can just, it's amazing how you can just pray. And really not be wandering off very much. You're still very much in His presence. I love now to just sit and read and pray. It's my favorite thing. Read the Word and pray in tongues and just read it again. Not trying to figure it out either. Just read it. Just assimilate it. Great danger to Gary trying to figure it out. I don't trust my reasonings anymore. I trust the One who teaches me. His name is the Holy Ghost. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, he's not just praying about tongues there. He is talking about, therefore, based on what he's already said, praying in other tongues, the Holy Spirit also helps us with our infirmities. But see, eventually, if you're going to walk holy and acceptable unto God, somewhere along there's going to be some limb lopping. Things that are not holy have to get lopped off. Isn't that right? You got to do something. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now let's go quickly, because I only got about 5 minutes here. I want you to see the key. There's a real key here. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And Davis taught us what that is. He has given you the faith for your call. We are one whole body. Or as Dave says, we are one whole pie. Your calling is one slice of that pie. And whatever that slice is, whatever your calling is, He has given you the faith to accomplish it. None of us are going to be able to stand there on that day and say, I didn't have enough faith. It plainly says He has given you the faith. You can do it too. Okay? For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, my hand doesn't do what my eye does, my eye doesn't do what my ear does, they each have their own office, right? So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And he starts listing these things. And Dave teaches along this line. Again, this is building off of Romans 8. I don't know what my calling is. If you'll pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will make intercession for you according to the plan of God. Eventually, you'll start finding out what your office is. And here he starts listing some of them, you know. You'll find out. So verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth, on teaching, he that exhorteth, on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth, with diligence, he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, starting here, where we started was verse 14 of chapter 13. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. God is what? God is love. Now watch this. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. I've been reading again the notes that I wrote from the Wigglesworth prophecy. I like to read after men that made it. And he talks about loathing the self-life. Loathing it. He says, because if you do not loathe it, you will not leave it. Jesus said that. Let you hate your own life also. So here he says, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Notice, patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now this is where walking in love. Now, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, and it isn't always, but if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. These verses, when you think about the flesh, these are the opposite of the flesh. The flesh is get even. Be sure you get yours. What is that deal? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Jesus says, well, let them fool you 70 times 7. And Peter says, you better increase my faith. I love how Dave teaches on that one. Especially, and it was talking about finances. I mean, how often shall my brother trespass against me? Let's say it in modern language. How often shall I let him rip me off and forgive him? Till 7 times? I thought Peter thought he was being exceedingly generous. Exceedingly gracious. Till 7 times? 70 times 7. Oh, my Lord. Of course, most of us then would get very legalistic. 70 times 7, so there'd be 289. If he does, if he keeps on, I don't have to. Anyway, that's another deal. Verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I'm going to give a little testimony to how this works. Sue and I have lived in the same house for over 30 years. It's been a very nice neighborhood. We've never been robbed or anything, you know. But the other day, just within last week, during the night, my car got broke into. And they stole about $200 worth of stuff out of it. I had some coupons to go eat. And not coupons, but gift cards, you know. I had a little Bluetooth speaker in there that I really liked, that little speaker. And I had some other things, and they just broke in there and just took it, you know. Now, here's the testimony part. My first thought, Lord, I forgive them. My first thought was not like, well, those dirty, no good, egg-sucking dogs. I know how I used to would have been, you know. Shall I call down wrath upon them and fire from heaven and consume them in thy sight, O thou righteous judge of the earth? You know not what spirit you're of. My first thought, Lord, I forgive them. My first thought, Lord, go after them. Send somebody after them. Send Jesus like you did after Saul of Tarsus. Go get them, God. Father, I loose them. I hold nothing against them, Father. Go get vengeance by getting them saved. That's what I want. And it was real. I remember when I used to pretend. Well, and that's okay. You know, your Bible says imitate God. You know, you imitated it first, okay? You know? I hear somebody say, what? No. Back in that early days again, when I just got saved and I wanted to go all the way with God, and I came to that verse in Mark 11 where it says, if you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And he brought up these two people that in my mind had done me such hurt. And if you knew the situation, if I told it to you, you might think, yeah, you know. And he said, well, you're going to have to forgive them. You know you're going to have to. Nothing in me wanted to. Long story short, I'm going to shut this down. I see. I said, you got to imitate. He gave me a way to imitate. I said, well, how would I even begin? He says, I said, there's nothing in me that wants to forgive them. He said, if I could make you willing, If I could make you willing to forgive them, then would you be willing? My engineering mind had to think about that. I'm not willing now. But if you could make me willing, I guess I would be willing. How would that happen? Yeah, how would that happen? And he gave me this simple instruction. He says, every time you think of them, just ask me to bless them. And the first time, have you ever tried not to think about something? It wasn't just almost right away, I thought of them, you know. Okay, Father, I thought of them. I'm asking you to bless them. And remember, I said this out loud because I didn't want to be a hypocrite. Bless them, Father, and you know I don't mean it. Now, is that an imitating or what? I'm doing it, and there's nothing in me that really feels it. I'm just following instructions, okay? So every time I'd think of him, I did that. But you know what? It began to work his grace in my heart. It began opening up, little by little, his love began to come. I'm not saying I'm walking totally in his love towards him, but I'm sure walking in more of it than I was before. And finally then, once that love really was, and that forgiveness was really there, only then could he open my eyes and start showing me my part in the whole deal. And the truth of it was, I was like King David. I was more guilty than they were. And I didn't even realize it. Then I was more praying for me to be forgiven than them to be forgiven. See? Okay. Well, this, to be continued, I'm sure, here. Let's finish up this chapter at least. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Boy, the flesh is never going to agree with this. See? If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. And we could go on here. Listen, we're in a season now where he is absolutely requiring of us, for where we're going into revival, that we put the flesh on the cross. The message of the hour is, listen, make sure you understand this. Yes, continue to do everything that is dealing with putting that root, whatever it is, to death. But his message to us, it is okay to lop off some limbs of bad fruit while we're dealing with the root. Did you get that? Hallelujah. All right, we're going to go ahead and start the confessions now.